This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome to the show, Dante Jones and Jason McIntyre. Let's move to L.A., where as far as we know, LeBron still hasn't reached out to Coach Luke Walton, so it's probably a good thing Walton reportedly met with LeBron's old coach, Ty Lue, to get some advice. But when asked over the weekend what he would tell Walton, Lue actually said that despite LeBron's history of multiple coaches, coaching the world's best player isn't all that tough, explaining, quote, "I'll just tell them LeBron's easy. People get this whole thing built up like he's hard to coach. It's not. LeBron's not the problem. It's the outside tension that's the problem." Cowherd, you buying this? Yeah. LeBron's easy?
Yeah. Ty Lue is 1-12 without him. He's won 66% of his games with him. Listen.
Easy to coach?
Superstar players all have a little of this. It's a player's league. But you know what LeBron brings? He cares. You've said this. There's guys in this league that are there for the check. There's guys that don't play defense. There's guys that just, what can basketball do for me? LeBron cares.
Easy?
Well, what is easy? You know what's easy? I show up as a coach and I know you care as much as I care. I'll sign up for that every time.
That's one way to define it. I'm gonna let Dante jump in here. I see he's itching to pull the trigger. But there are some players who are less passive aggressive, Colin.
LeBron, like as Lue gave an exact testament of how he really feels to the media. Like sometimes people don't tell exactly what they're going through and how they view it just for PR perspectives. But the hardest part with LeBron was the media, was attention, was everything else other people said. LeBron does a good job of doing his homework. He's a leader. He leads by example, and he leads by speaking and doing all the right things. So it's not hard to coach him. He's a brilliant basketball player. Like, there hasn't been that many players that sees the game like he does, and there hasn't been the players that care as much as he does to do their homework and to try and piece things together.
Easy.
Nothing in life is easy. Coaching, being a head coach is one of the hardest things that I've been around, because you have to fit all these personalities together and have them come together for one common cause.
Well, what's
with
so much
money on the line.
What's the value of easy? Kobe wasn't easy. Well, what's the value of easy? I've never met anybody in anything that's great that's easy. Life's not easy.
Phil Jackson might say Michael Jordan was easy to coach. He might. Well,
Jordan didn't win anything until Phil Jackson got there, though. We'll give him that. But let me go back to his answer. Very political of him, is it not? Okay, a lot of coaches would go out and burn bridges. LeBron left me, dang it, and it would sound off. Dan Gilbert famously did that with the letter. But this is a great answer from Ty Lue, because he's essentially saying, well, geez, I could end up coaching LeBron again. I played for the Lakers. I could be there one day. Maybe LeBron comes home again. But when you go to easy, answer me this, Dante. When the Cavs win, who gets all the credit? LeBron James. When the Cavs lose, who gets the blame?
Everybody.
J.R. Smith.
No, everybody
coach,
else.
Kevin Love. Anybody
fans,
but LeBron. So,
fans,
in a way, you can't win coaching LeBron. I think this is a great political answer from Ty Lue.
A coach would tell you the same thing. Players get all the credit when we win, and we take all the flack when we lose. That's just the job of a coach. That's what you get paid to do as a coach.
Right.
So, LeBron being easy is the fact that he thinks the game. The best coaches I've been around, they give you an option to show what you see. It's the dynamic of you do what I say is done in coaching. It's not the most effective way to communicate on any level of trying to get people to do something for a common cause.
What if I said LeBron's challenging? Magic got a coach fired.
I agree. It's not easy. Now you're right. Onto something that's true. Challenging.
No, yeah. But I think it's challenging because LeBron demands you have to figure out the puzzle. And LeBron's like, listen, I'm a Swiss Army knife. I can rebound. I can pass. I can score. You got to figure out how to get guys around me who probably aren't as talented, aren't as passionate, don't have the basketball IQ LeBron, Magic, Jordan do. I think it's challenging to deal with, by the way, Terry Bradshaw, Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman barked at teammates on the sidelines in blowout wins. It was Troy Aikman easy. No, but I'd take that challenge every day.
Yeah, I would say Troy Aikman easier to coach than LeBron. I'd say Karl Malone, John Stockton easier to coach than LeBron. And there is a benefit to a challenge. It can take you to a higher level. And so, again, just because I'm saying it's not easy doesn't mean LeBron doesn't elevate the coach and the team by challenging them. But I think Eric Spoelstra, if asked, would have probably gone to challenging and rewarding coaching LeBron. I don't think he would have gone to easy coaching LeBron.
Where would David Blatt have gone? Would he have gone easy?
No.
Would David Blatt have gone? I mean, LeBron is difficult to coach. Mike Brown was coaching LeBron, okay? They struggled. They won 60 games. They got bounced. Do you think LeBron got any of the blame for that?
Let's just say this, the basketball culture. So Greg Popovich is the Belichick of the NBA. He's about ready to go. He's 69. Brad Stevens looks like he's the heir apparent. Well, he's the best coach in the league. It's hard to coach basketball. It's hard to get a 6-year run as an NBA. People for years said Stan Van Gundy was a good coach. How many jobs has he had? Jeff can't get back in. Basketball's culture is worship the star. From AAU to college.
American culture is.
I can understand why he said easy. Because for coaching, most of their job is motivating players to do their job. Like, you're trying to convince this guy how he has to play hard, how he has to do this, why he has to do this. With him, he's self-motivated. He holds his teammates to a standard of excellence that you don't have to do it with them. He's holding them. He's controlling the tempo of the team. He's such a perfectionist that the team is already in line.
All you have to do is coach the team
and give the schemes. The coach doesn't necessarily want to do all the motivating because that's the tiring part of coaching. You shouldn't have to motivate these guys who are paid an extremely amount of money to do something that you're supposed to love to do. That shouldn't be your job as a coach. But when you have LeBron James on your team, everyone falls in line and everyone understands how dominant and he shows them how to work. He shows them how to prepare. He takes all that off your burden of being a coach.
I like that.
Let's move to LeBron James, who hasn't had the warmest welcome since joining the Lakers, with a mural of the King being vandalized after a fan offered money on Twitter to anyone who defaced it. Cowherd, should LeBron be worried Laker fans won't embrace him?
No, because this is a small number of people, idiots. Most Laker fans are going to give him a wild standing ovation.
I think this will be interesting because I think there won't be 1,000% worship of LeBron like he had in Cleveland. There will be some Kobe fans, Kobe stans. We got one that works on our show that won't let Kobe go and will take little pot shots at LeBron.
Welcome back. Joined now by the founder of the Big Lead, J-Mac, Jason McIntyre. Let's move to the Lakers. Fun subject. A lot of people gushing after they landed LeBron in free agency. I'm one of them. But not everybody is so impressed with a signing. Former Laker player and exec Jerry West, now a consultant for the Crosstown Clippers. Says landing LeBron wasn't exactly a challenge for Magic and Rob Pelinka, explaining, quote, all due respect to the Lakers who handled everything well, but as these things go, LeBron was not a tough free agent signing. LeBron wanted to come to L.A., and he wanted to come to the Lakers, period. He has family he's thinking about, home here, as a son who he wants to keep in one school in Los Angeles. Whitlock, you agree with Jerry?
1,000%.
Oh.
Jerry West is 80 years old, and when you get that old, you just don't care about anything other than the truth, and so you say what you really believe, and he's right. This was a rigged job that's been, you know, everybody knew LeBron was coming here. It didn't take all these narratives are being, oh, Magic showed up an hour early outside LeBron's door. Magic, here's how Magic closed the deal. And it's all myth-making. It's all fictional narrative or something that's been told to make it sound like there was some dramatic reeling in of LeBron James when he was already going to do this. But again, I said from the get-go, LeBron came out here because Hollywood said they're gonna turn him into a bigger and bigger deal, and they're gonna try to make him bigger than Muhammad Ali. So let's pretend like, oh my God, it came down to the Sixers and the Pacers in Sacramento, and LeBron was sweating and he didn't know what to do until Magic came in and just sprinkled Magic dust everywhere.
Sacramento.
And LeBron decided at the last minute, oh Magic, I think I'm gonna go to the Lakers. That's not what happened.
By the way, was Shaq hard to get here? Shaq wanted to be a movie star. He was the easiest signing ever.
That's what Jerry's saying.
Jerry West.
You just agreed with Jerry West.
Jerry West, Pat Riley are the two greatest recruiters in league history. Why? Because they're cool. They walk in a room. Jerry's 80 looks 65. Pat's 70 looks 58. Okay, Magic's the new guy. Magic is 60 and has the energy of a 24-year-old. He's relatable. He's a great communicator. He's fun.
But LeBron was coming here regardless. If you had been the general manager, he was
coming. No way. If Jim Buss was running this circus like he was 3 years ago?
Yes.
Oh, God, his sister kicked him out of the room. You think LeBron wouldn't kick him out of the room?
So, okay. Jason, we're talking 3 months ago, I tell you, LeBron's coming to a 35-win team that didn't get to the playoffs, and he's not bringing anybody. No Paul George, no Kawhi Leonard. You think he's coming? If Magic Johnson's not there? Magic's the only reason he's here right now. I mean, I totally disagree with Jerry West.
Let me just stop you for a second. I don't go too far into extreme. The only reason. Lakers have a history. You have the city of Los Angeles. You have Hollywood and all these. He has two homes out
here. But that's been here for LaMarcus
Aldridge. Oh, Magic with the Lakers. Let me buy two homes in Brooklyn.
Well, no, but they had whiffed on Dwight Howard. They whiffed on LaMarcus Aldridge.
They got Dwight Howard.
Yeah, but then he left almost immediately. You know, they couldn't even keep Dwight Howard. I mean, Kevin Love, they wanted to recruit. He's like, no thanks. Carmelo, please come out.
They'd had a bad 5 years of free agent run. People were not considering them anymore. Mitch Kupchak had a wooden personality. Jim Buss was not capable. I mean, we forget here.
There were people 2 years ago on your website, Ty Duffy, writing, LeBron's going to Los Angeles.
Well, yeah, but
this isn't some thing that just came out of nowhere.
If it didn't come out of nowhere, how come none of these great NBA reporters broke it? Yeah.
Remember
how come his friends had to wait for a call from LeBron at Van Nuys Airport?
Who?
Maverick Carter, Rich Paul, said they had to wait.
You've bought the myth. You've bought the fairy dust that's being sprinkled everywhere, and you believe Magic was outside his home an hour before, nervous and into, oh, my God, what's LeBron going to do? I just don't buy. This is Hollywood, the land of fiction. This is what it is. That's why he came here, so he can be fictionalized into something bigger than what he already is. If you can't beat Michael Jordan on the court, come to L.A. and let the narrative writers in the Hollywood, the people with all these creative minds, come up with a narrative that, oh, my God, something incredible's happened here. And when he gets beat by Golden State, wait till you see the stories they write. It's going to be, it'll be like he swept Golden State.
Oh, come on.
He got beat. All right, well, whether you're impressed with the Lakers landing LeBron or not, the team's other signings have left a lot of people scratching their heads. But now General Manager Rob Pelinka says adding guys like Lance Stephenson, Rajon Rondo, JaVale McGee, actually that was all part of their plan to take down Golden State.
We play for NBA titles here. You guys know that. Irvin and I had a conversation, and you know LeBron echoed this sentiment that I think to try to play the Warriors in their own game is a trap. No one's going to beat them at their own game. And so that's why we wanted to add these elements of sort of defense and toughness and depth.
All right, Calhoun, Pelinka delusional there?
No, he's brilliant. First of all, the Lakers know they need shooters. They're not available on the market. What is currently available on the market for one-year deals is Rondo and Lance Stephenson and tough guys. This is part of a plan. Okay, if Klay Thompson was available, they'd make a big run at him, and they will next year. That's their big game hunting next year. You can only recruit what's available. There was a lot of quarterbacks available in the NFL draft this year. There wasn't the year before. There won't be next year. So what's available was Rondo and Lance Stephenson, competitive guys who LeBron has faced, who aren't intimidated, mixing in with these young guys.
And I agree with you. If a game of dodgeball breaks out, the Lakers are very equipped to take out the Golden State Warriors. They got tough guys that in a game of dodgeball, they will smoke Golden
State. How long have you been calling the Warriors a suburban soft kids? Yeah. 2-3 years now, right?
Yes.
So they go get Rondo, who's a tough, bad dude, who'll get in anybody's face, and they get Lance Stephenson. We know what he's done. I see no problem with this. I think this is a great idea. LeBron and Kyrie tried to outscore the Warriors and Durant. We know how that ended. Terribly. The Rockets actually got tough guys. P.J. Tucker,
yes.
Trevor Ariza.
Yeah.
Here's a great stat for you. Since Kevin Durant came to the Warriors in the playoffs, Golden State's 28-3 against everybody else in the league. They're 4-3 against the Rockets. The Rockets really played them tough with tough dudes, grimy two-way players.
You are aware, though, that Trevor Ariza can shoot. And that P.J. Tucker knocked down three-pointers.
Remember,
and Chris Paul and James Harden, they knocked down shots.
But they play defense. Remember, they held the Warriors under 95 points twice in that series. Nobody stops his team.
By the way, we're a week into this. Mm-hmm. This is he didn't win in Miami or Cleveland first year. Where everybody's looking at this and going, look at this roster. It's going to be different at the trading deadline. We know that Rondo and Lance Stevenson and JaVale McGee will probably be able to keep it in check from October, November, December. Let's say by January they're a headache. They're gone by February 5th.
And Kyle, I agree with that. But we've already seen the Cavaliers revamp their lineup in the middle of the season, and it didn't work out. And so I just think they're throwing away this season, and that's part of their calculation. If we can't get Kawhi, we really can't compete this year. Let's sign some guys that can't shoot to one-year deals, and we'll reassess in 2019. That's not a horrible strategy. It's only bad because LeBron will be 34 in December, and you've just thrown away a year.
34 is the new 31. Tom Brady, 41 is the new 36. If you take care of your body, those numbers don't equate to numbers in the 70s, 80s, 90s. Welcome back. Joined now by Fox NBA analyst Jim Jackson, founder of The Big Lead, Jason McIntyre. Adding LeBron was a no-brainer for the Lakers. Some of the other signings like Lance Stevenson, JaVale McGee have left people a little confused, including Yahoo's Chris Mannix, who went off yesterday about how this could all go wrong.
It's so goofy. It really is. And I love the narrative. Some people actually are believing that, you know, we're getting away from what Miami did and what Cleveland did. We're not going to surround LeBron James with shooters. We're going to surround him with competitors and with playmakers. The Lakers are doing a hell of a job selling this narrative that the type of team that will take LeBron into through the final stage of his career. But I think it's total nonsense. I think this is the type of team that spontaneously combusts right around midseason.
You buy that, Whitlock?
1,000%.
Oh, Lord.
This team is built for one mission: get Luke Walton fired. It's going to blow up, and they're going to fire Luke Walton, and then they're going to get a coach in here that LeBron wants, and then they're going to build the real team around LeBron. This team has one mission: get the coach fired, create the chaos. It may happen by midseason.
Oh.
Everybody, all these guys that don't fit, can't shoot around LeBron on one-year deals.
Can I remind you of last year? Kyrie leaves LeBron. The replacement can't play. Kevin Love gets hurt for a month. The coach has, health issues. They make a total roster switch at midseason. They have several key injuries. J.R. Smith at one point throws soup at a coach on the staff, and they get to the finals. LeBron's lived in chaos for 10 years. He overcomes it every time. The West is not, after what Houston did, losing their forwards, Golden State's great. Everybody's beatable after that. LeBron swims in chaos. He dines in chaos. He lives in chaos.
And fired coaches.
Come on.
Fired coaches.
You don't like Magic.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Yeah.
But here's my thing. They're not planning. This is a long-term strategy, long-term meaning the next 2 or 3 years. This team right here, a lot of one-year deals. They didn't want money to get tied up because some of the other free agents were looking for long-term deals, and the Lakers weren't going to tie that money up. So what you do is you put together a competitive team. You get this Lakers team back relevant again. And again, Colin, we were talking about this. In the West, Jason, you may agree or disagree, but think about the teams right there we're talking about competing. Houston just lost, I think, two of their key pieces, okay?
Right.
I don't really trust OKC yet. Portland is a team, I don't know where they're at. Denver, Utah may be the only one in regards to maybe taking that next step, but who is really a viable threat
the world's best basketball player.
Lakers are putting themselves in position, and you say, well, they could very easily be in the top five of the Western Conference at the end of the year based on what's going on all around the rest of the Western Conference. And I agree with them. Don't tie up your money this year. Big-time free agent class next year.
I don't see this spontaneously combusting thing happening. I keep coming back to this. All three of these guys were key contributors on playoff teams last year. JaVale McGee cleaned up his act in Golden State. Mm-hmm. Rondo, by the way, played Damian Lillard to a standstill in the first round, and they won. And Lance Stevenson, came off the bench for the Pacers last year, but I just don't see it. And Let's not forget, LeBron's here for 3 years. Like, there was the chance of combusting in Cleveland last year because his deal was up. But now he's sticking around for 3 years. I don't see why you'd build a team to get a coach fired. It just doesn't really make sense.
Why do you think? Why do you think they want to get him fired?
None of these guys can. Well, because Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson didn't hire him. LeBron hasn't met with him.
Okay.
He's insignificant.
So why don't they just fire him?
Because they can't. Because Jenny Buss is committed to him right now. But at halfway through this season, after watching a group of guys that couldn't beat me, you, and Cowherd in a game of horse. They couldn't beat us in a game of horse. They can't shoot. They've surrounded LeBron with a bunch of guys that can't shoot. Look, JaVale McGee's coming off his best behavior because they were in a championship run. They won't be in a championship run here. Lance Stevens is going to Lance Stevens wherever he's at. I've seen it. I'm a Pacer fan. Rajon Rondo is one of the more difficult players to play with in the league and coach in the league. He's a very smart guy, but he's difficult.
But they're all on one-year deals.
Right.
Act up, you're out the door.
That's a totally different deal.
You just got bait.
That to me, everybody on a one-year deal. Wasn't that Isaiah Thomas's situation where he was out trying to play for his next contract? So you got a bunch of guys playing for their next contract who can't shoot, who are surrounded by a guy that brings the biggest spotlight in the history of sports. It's not going to take much of a match. The gas is all sitting there. The fans are being flamed. Somebody's going to throw a match, probably LeVar Ball.
Well, I think that's probably the – outside of those three, I think that's the biggest, I think, conundrum right now is the LeVar Ball, Lonzo Ball situation, depending on what happens with Rondo at the beginning of the year. To me, I'm not – the other three, I think, are professional enough. And, again – Alvin Gentry is great. I thought what Rondo did in New Orleans was absolutely wonderful, despite his reputation and what went on. But we haven't even talked about that Lonzo issue because I do think it comes to a point where Rondo is going to be on the court and we're going to start to hear the backdrop of some murmuring from LeVar. How will the Lakers and LeBron, you got to include LeBron in this, handle that situation going in? That's going to be the key to me.
All right, to another team making questionable decisions, the Rockets, who have seen two major role players, Trevor Ariza and Luke Mbamute, leave in free agency and are now reportedly determined to sign Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
The Rockets just pushed Golden State to 7 games, but they look to be a pretty different team next year. Cowherd, are the Rockets still the number one threat to the Warriors?
I don't think so. I don't. I think they're desperate at forward. Listen, you cannot be deficient at forward in the West. You got a Durant now. You got a LeBron now. You got a Kawhi Leonard now. You just can't be weak there. And they are. And those were willful, long, athletic defenders at a reasonable price. But this is what happens. Chris Paul demands a max. Bye-bye, Trevor Ariza. And Clint Capella wants to be paid like a star, though he can't shoot in 2018. Bye-bye, Luke. This is what happens. Jason, we look at the Golden State dynasty, and what we've never given enough credit to is smarts. Kevin Durant last year, same time. I'll take less money to keep Andre Iguodala. Chris Paul this year, I want a max. You're never healthy. Golden State's dynasty has been formed off drafting smart. It's been off being smart.
Mm-hmm.
Last year at this time, Golden State had the same dilemma. Kevin Durant, second best player in the world, said, I'll take less. Chris Paul played 50 games this year. He wants a max. This is what happens. Their window closed.
Yeah, I don't think the Rockets are the number one threat. And I'm not even sure if there is a number one threat to the Golden
State
Warriors.
That's probably in the West, there may not be.
But, you know, right now, I'm Utah and OKC look like, to me, the best contenders. But it certainly isn't the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
Any team that's talking about signing Carmelo as a solution.
you know, even if you sign Carmelo, you got to be upfront and honest with what his role is going to be. You got to do that from day one. If you want to come here, this is your role. 20, 25 minutes, whether that's coming off the bench, you're not going to get X amount of shots. You have to put the onus on Carmelo to make a decision. But I always thought this Houston team, to me, they weren't built for the long term. And what I mean by that, Boston is, Philly is, even Golden State, because they're still youthful in their prime positions. Houston, your best player, second best player, is Chris Paul at 33, been injured. Talking about coming back now for another year. James Harden's a little bit older. So this Houston team, now you lose Trevor Ariza, he was still older. So what was that run ultimately going to be for Houston if they didn't win it in this window of this year or next year? What was it going to be? I never liked that makeup in regards to long-term success for Houston, and I think we see it playing out. They're going to have to pay Clint Capella. Is he worth it?
No.
That's not the question. Is he going to get it? More than likely.
He's got some leverage.
Because he has leverage with the Rockets because they need to keep something intact in order to sell what they've been selling that they can be a viable threat to Golden State.
I would agree with you, Whitlock. Utah is a team on the rise, but also Carmelo leaving OKC feels like addition by subtraction. You get him out of the locker room, you get the distraction of I want my shots out of there. But I believe, guys, the L.A. Lakers, second best team in the West. I think LeBron's worth 15 wins. Remember, 35 wins last year plus 15 from LeBron, that's 50. Mm-hmm. Third best team in the West last year won 49 games. You're telling me LeBron isn't worth 15 wins to the Lakers? I think they're right there, second in the West. Now, taking down Golden State, that's another challenge. But
My pushback against the Lakers as the threat would be, look, winning 35 games when no one cares, when other teams are rolling in there, oh, Lonzo and the kids, let's slap them around. When LeBron is there, you get everybody's A-plus game. And so winning 45 games with LeBron going to be much harder than winning 35 when Lonzo and Kuzma and Brandon Ingram, everybody's under 180
pounds.
Well,
Lonzo did miss 30 games last year. Yeah. Brandon Ingram missed 20. They had a bunch of
one-year
contract
guys. You don't
like
any of these young Laker players. Kuzma scores 16 as a rookie.
How about Kuzma?
Kuzma is significantly better as a rookie than Kawhi and Paul George was. Significantly.
Hey, Brandon Ingram is about to take a big leap, guys.
Hold on.
I'm telling
Kawhi
you.
Kawhi and Paul George. And again, Kawhi and Paul George joined teams that were playing important games. The Lakers were playing it's like a totally different league. None of their games mattered. All of San Antonio's games have mattered for the last 20 years. Many of the Pacers games on Paul George's rise mattered. It's easy to put up numbers when everybody is giving you their 80% regular season effort and the important teams are getting your 95-100% effort. And so I like Kuzma, but I'm not sold on anybody, including Kuzma, until I see him play an important game.
That's fair.